just as deadly as Iron Man, and they all stood silently, allowing the man's underwater screams to echo around the space.
"Enough,"
a gentle voice called out, and each man stood straighter when the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen stepped forward. Even from where I stood, I could tell she was perfection. From her dark, wavy black hair, flawless olive skin and deep brown eyes, to her perfect hourglass figure. The knee-length white dress she wore hugged each one of her toned curves and, God, her tight ass. Fuck. Her lips demanded to be kissed and my cock demanded I have my way with her right then and there. Melo di Nietzsche Giovanni, head of the Giovanni family and the boss, Fidel, informed us. Neil stepped up to see the goddess below. Holy shitcock motherfucking damn, he said, with his mouth dropping open. Neil, I said without emotion. The last thing I wanted the Italians to believe was that we were impressed. Nodding, Neil returned to the same cold monster I needed at my side. Declan met my gaze, telling me he was on the same wavelength as Neil. If it weren't for the obnoxiously loud gasping coming from the man below us, all three of us would have forgotten he was there. But when I looked closer, I realized who it was they were waterboarding. Ryan Ross. How the fuck did they get him?
Ryan, as much as I would like to draw this out, I am late for a meeting with my fiancé, and I hate being late,
Melody stated, as a blonde man stepped forward holding her jewellery on a white fucking pillow.
To hell with you and your fiancé, you no good Italian cunt bitch!
Before he could finish, one of the men who had held him down smashed his fist several times into Ryan's face.
It's boss or Miss Giovanni,
the man said, spitting on him.
Nothing more, nothing less.
Melody frowned, and even that made me hard. She had beautiful lips.
I didn't want to do this,
she said, putting her earrings in before being handed a gun. Spitting the blood from his mouth, Ryan smiled.
Do it. I'd rather die than talk to you, bitch.
Who said this was for you?
Melody smiled back, as two men dragged the sobbing female forward and placed her on a chair in front of the scum. Ryan's eyes widened as he looked at her.
The Valero don't know about your special friend, do they? They aren't big on you fucking women outside of the ones they offer you. You tried really hard to keep her a secret,
she said, walking behind him. It made my blood boil at how close she was to him.
Did you know she was pregnant?
Melody asked, causing the girl to hold on to her flat stomach and sob even louder.
Two lives saved, if you just tell me what I want to know.
She loaded the gun. He didn't say a word even as the girl begged him.
So this is your answer then, Ryan?
Melody asked slowly.
I will kill her.
He still did not speak. Soyin, she fired not once, not twice, but repeatedly, only stopping when the girl's lifeless body fell from the chair. She didn't even flinch. Instead, she walked toward the girl and emptied the rest of her clip into the body. When she was done, she turned back to the now blood-spattered Ryan, who sat wide-eyed and shaken. This must have happened often, because her men went to work carrying the body and cleaning up the blood on the ground, which hadn't touched her. They brought a new blood-free chair for her to sit on and handed her a pair of heels, all of which happened in a matter of seconds. They moved like the military.
Does it make me a hypocrite if I still consider myself pro-life?
She didn't even blink as she stepped into her white shoes.
She's just as fucking merciless as you are,
Neil uttered in disbelief. In a single moment, though, she had gone against everything I ever believed. This was not the role I wanted my future wife to play. She was too beautiful for the blood and the darkness. She should be upstairs, flipping through catalogues and painting her pretty little nails, or waiting in our bed for me to have her. This could not stand, and this would not be her role. I was to become the boss and the Cana Canerta. She was to stand at my side so the Italians would fall in line. Not that I could deny how sexy I found it. My mind hated this, saw the danger in this,
but my body lusted after it painfully. My cock throbbed for her. Declan snickered to my right.
Right now, you wish the biggest thing you had to deal with was a charity junkie for a wife.
I couldn't agree more. I would have to fix this situation, and fast.
Everyone out! I roared, making every last one of the inhabitants of the room look back at me as though I'd lost my mind.
The eyes that shined with the most rage were those of my beautiful soon-to-be wife. Oh well, this would be her first lesson.
There was one boss.
Only one, Cana Canerta. And it was not her.
For every murder turns on a bright hot light, and a lot of people have to walk out of the shadows. Albert Maltz. Orlando. Thank you for lying to him. I know it's not your forte. I coughed. I was always bloody coughing. I wanted nothing more than to rip my damn throat from my neck.
Yes, well,
Cedric said, handing me a glass of brandy. One day he may thank me for keeping the identity of your daughter secret. With the shaky hands, I held on to the glass before tossing the contents down my throat. It helped the hacking this damn cancer caused, but not by much. She's your daughter now. I hated saying it. I couldn't even meet his gaze. I just stared at the empty glass. My own hands looked so foreign to me. When had I become this man? This broken and tired old man who was frustrated at watching the sun come up in the morning and seeing the moon fill the night sky. When had I become tired of living? In my youth, all I did was live. Some say a little too much, but I knew this was to be my future. Even now, it wasn't enough. I wanted to live more. I wanted more. It was the curse of being a Giovanni. We wanted it all, even if we didn't know it yet. I rode like lightning and... Orlando! Snapping out of my trance, I stared at the gracefully graying man before me with a slight envy. Even now he didn't look a day over 30-something. The Callahans, I swear, had found the fountain of youth. My apologies. What did you say? I frowned, trying to sit up, but my body was my prison, and I couldn't. Walking over to me, Cedric slowly lifted me up with one hand.
I said, she would forever be your daughter. I wish to know why you didn't tell me about the cancer. I wouldn't have used it against you.
Liar. He couldn't help himself. A small grin spread across his face. I didn't wish for anyone to know, Mel included. But that damn girl was too bloody smart for her own good, and blackmailed the doctors into telling her. Snickering, I grabbed the bottle off my desk, spilling a few drops on my hands. Cedric nodded, staring out the window as he drank.
When I first found out about her, I was shocked and angry that she would allow your daughter to get tied into the life we have chosen.
I had to see it with my own eyes. Watching her chop off two men's hands down in Mexico sure did the trick. So, you saw her on a good day. His eyebrows rose. All I could do was snort. I didn't allow Mel to do anything. She doesn't ask for permission. She takes what she wants. By the time you figured out what happened, it's too late to stop her. I didn't even realize it when she started taking over. One moment she was helping me balance cocaine and clean guns, the next she was telling me not to worry, because she already knew what to do. I tried to fight her, but the damn girl's plans always worked so well, I was left speechless.
Your empire may have needed us once upon a time, but now, I must admit she's done well. Frighteningly well, in fact.
You could have terminated the contract, he said, and he was right. I could have. Any self-respecting boss would never have shared his or her throne with another. And yet here we were, If Mel were a man, no one would dare deny she has the capability to be the best there ever was. But there will always be a fool who thinks she can be run over, and she would never stop fighting. If someone backed her into a corner, she would either fight or tear down the back wall and attack them from behind. I chuckled. It was one of the things I loved about her. That fire in her eyes reminded me so much of her mother.
My son is not just going to let her rule. In fact, I fear the years of peace we've enjoyed inside my house will be on hiatus.
Cedric grinned, and I knew he was looking forward to it. Behind his polished accent and his polite demeanor, he enjoyed chaos.
I had an old bullet wound in my arm to prove it.
But, he turned back to me.
That is not your only reason, Orlando. If you minded her fighting, you would have locked her away from it all the moment she was born. The fighting does not bother you.
What does? Damn Irish bastard, I thought as I glared at him. The difference between a female and a male boss is that the female sells not only her soul, but her art. Mel hasn't felt anything but rage in years. She is walled off and will stay that way if she does not marry. Even if she were to hate him, at least I know she will never be alone. She will still have a family. Everyone she has ever loved has died, and I was well on my way too. In return, Mel died a long time ago.
Cedric frowned, shaking his head.
It is odd. You believe that Melody needs Liam to end the loneliness, and I believe Liam needs Melody to not fear being alone. He has all the makings of a Cain Ganarta. I knew it the first day he was born. Neil was not mentally strong enough. He doesn't have it. But Liam, he was born for it. It's in his DNA. Even as a child, he loved to leave his mark on everything.
But, I coughed.
But behind Liam's facade, he craves to be loved and hates to be alone. He frowned, hating that he had to admit the truth. And that was the truth. He's not as focused as he should be, and he's too compassionate sometimes. I blame his mother for that.
And compassion is only for the family, I said. He nodded.
He is merciless in many ways. But to be Cae Conarta, you must not show mercy to anyone but your family. You are cold. You are distant. You enjoy the blood, the death. Liam kills, but he does not relish in it as he should. If he did, the Valero would fear him as they fear you. Or should I say, the woman now acting as you.
I must ask you for something, Cedric. I added, wishing more than anything to never have to speak the words that were about to break free from my lips.
Whatever it is, say it, and I will have it done.
He said, only making the ache in my heart burn more. Swallowing my pride, I nodded. I wish for you to walk Mel down the aisle. There was a pause, and he searched my eyes.
Are you sure?
I nodded.
My bambina dolce
deserved to walk down the aisle and be proud. She would argue about how proud she was of me already. How she didn't care that I would cough through the ceremony, or that I needed to be pushed down the aisle, or the fact that more people would be focused on me rather than her. But I cared, and I did not want that. If I went and our enemies saw how weak I was, they would try to use that against her. Against her empire.
I will call Evelyn, and she will have everything ready in 3 days. You can watch from a secret room. No one will see you.
He said with a grateful nod. Offering any more than that, he might as well carve out my heart. Do you not feel like we are Pandora just as she is about to open her box? I grinned at him.
They will bring a chaos like we never could, and we did it simply with the hope of bettering them for the future.
Cedric chortled before finishing off his brandy.
Yes,
in a twisted sort of way.
We do live in a twisted world, I replied, as the door opened to reveal Adriana once again. Yes.
Mr. Giovanni, Mr. Callahan, I am sorry to intrude, but I was told to come get you both.
She said with her head down.
Why is that?
Cedric asked with a coldness in his voice that he hadn't had since our conversation started.
The boss and Mr. Callahan apparently cleared the room in the basement so they could be alone and no one was to enter. But a few minutes later, a gun went off. Five. It's a pity you didn't know when you started your game of murder that I was playing too. Rob White. Melody. Who in the fuck is asking to die? I glared towards the back of the room, searching for the face behind the voice that dared interrupt me. My blood boiled. Liam, soon to be fucking dead, Callahan was walking down the stairs. My fucking stairs. With his sex hair high and his green eyes sharper than razor blades. He was beautiful, and I almost regretted the fact that I would have to put a bullet in his head and then smash it through a fucking wall.
So, this is the man behind the bitch.
Ryan laughed. Before I could even stop myself, I brought the butt of my gun across his face and did not stop smashing it until I heard a sick pop. I beat him into unconsciousness and left him slumped in his chair, his eyes swollen shut. Wiping the blood from my face, I took a deep breath and held the gun up for Monty before I turned back to face the fuckable idiot. You overstep, Callahan. He looked me up and down with both disgust and lust.
Do I? I believe you're mistaken, love. After all, I just signed a very powerful document making all of this mine.
Did your father pay for your Dartmouth diploma because you don't seem to be good at reading? I glared at him, trying not to let the thick waves of lust that radiated off of him bother me. That paper says you work with me after our marriage, Callahan, and we are not married yet. So you are still a fucking guest in my fucking house. He smirked, and it was sexy. Dangerously so, and I wanted to kill him for it.
Be a good fiancé and tell your pets to leave, or I will put them down, sweetheart.
His green eyes assessed me. As though I were his shiny new toy. Do not kill. Do not kill. Melody, stay calm and do not kill him. I wasn't going to lose my cool in front of my men. Glancing across the room, each of them stood with their hands tensed at their sides, waiting for me to give the word. Just a tip of my head would give them a signal to put as many fucking bullets as possible into the motherfucker in front of me. Monty, Fidel, take Mr. Ross and wake him up. If he doesn't cooperate, please show him the live feed we have of his brother, whom he also failed to hide, and the bomb in his house. I never broke eye contact with Liam. The rest of you, leave. I could hear their feet as they followed my orders, and ran like roaches in the daylight. The only men who didn't move were the two I recognized as Liam's brother and cousin. That applies to you two as well. They grinned and looked at Liam. He raised an eyebrow at me.
They stay here.
I took a step forward, stopping when he was a little more than an inch away from me. I could feel his breath on the tip of my nose. I smiled sweetly. Only if they're in body bags, I said, stepping around Liam and scowling at the two men who had yet to leave. You have 2 seconds. They shifted their eyes toward the man standing behind me once more before heading toward the door. The moment it shut, I spun around, fist flying towards his head. It met his palm. Grabbing my fist, he flung me into the chair Ryan had occupied. He cupped my cheek with one hand, and with the other, he held both my wrists tight.
First, your joke,
he said, panting in my face like a lion eager for the chance to jump his prey.
Not funny.
Second, he brushed his thumb over my lips.
The moment the ink touched that fucking paper, you were mine.
Mine to fuck.
Mine to fucking command.
And mine to put in your fucking place.
Third.
He kissed me brutally before pulling away.
All this is over. You sit at my side and you stay beautiful, like a lady.
I stared at him wide-eyed. Is that all, master? He grinned, but before he could speak again, I pulled my head back and smashed it against his fucking nose. His head went back and his grip on me loosened.
I brought my knees back just far enough to kick him in the crotch, causing him to release me completely.
You fucking...
He started, but I didn't let him finish speaking before sideswiping his legs out from under him. With my now ruined white Gucci heels on his neck, I glared down at him. First, I said, pressing into his neck, get used to this position because you're my bitch, not the other way around. Second, do not ever put your fucking lips on me without my permission. Before I could get to my third point, he twisted my foot and brought me down to the ground, pinning me there with the weight of his body. Fury burned in his eyes as he breathed roughly through his nose.
My mother told me never to hit a woman, but you are pushing my limits.
Funny, my father told me the same thing. Would you like me to apologize? I pushed my thumbs to his eyes, forcing his hands to let go of my throat. We fought and struggled on the ground like savage animals before he picked me up and threw me into the nearest wall. I grabbed a chair and smashed it against his side. It went on and on, each of us trying our best to kill the other without actually killing each other. When I landed a kick to his side, he fucking grabbed me like a rag doll and flung me across the room. It was nothing. Instead of letting myself feel the pain, I jumped back up. My heels were now long gone, and the dress I had changed into just to meet him was torn up the sides. His suit jacket had been lost in the heat of the battle. His shirt was ripped and his tie was barely hanging around his neck. His hair was even more disheveled, and his eyes were wilder than the fucking jungle. When my fist collided with his cheek, he drew his gun and aimed it directly at my face. He stalled when he got a good look at me. Panting like the beast he was, the lust in his eyes returned in full force. Without a second thought, he pushed me up against the wall before attacking me with kisses. His mouth was everywhere, from my neck down the front of my chest, back to the sides of my face, before it met mine again. He gripped my ass with one hand and my breast with the other, the one that still held his gun. I felt his hard-on pushing against my waist, trying its best to find its way inside me. His actions were barbaric, almost animalistic, like a man dying of thirst, and the only source of water was my skin. I loved every moment of it, but I would not let him win. I would not bow down to him, not today, not tomorrow, not ever. He was so busy trying to figure out how to get the zipper of my dress down that taking the gun from him was like taking candy from a baby. Frantically rubbing himself against me even harder, closer, he almost just let me have the firearm. With one great push, I forced his body to separate from mine, which surprisingly missed his warmth already. He stared at me with desperation. I pointed the gun and pulled the trigger, causing his leg to buckle. He stared in shock as the bullet went through his thigh, then roared in pain as he fell down to one knee. That's right. Hail to the boss. Third, if you ever interrupt me again, Liam Alec Callahan, may God have mercy on your soul when I send you to meet him. I kissed him on the cheek and removed the clip from the gun, along with the bullet in the chamber, before walking toward the door. When I opened it, my men were there with guns drawn on Declan and Neil, who mirrored their poses. It explained why neither of them had come in. They couldn't check the door without putting their backs to the enemy. My men all looked me up and down with proud grins on their faces.
What would you, like us to do with them, ma'am?
One of them, Antonio Franco, asked, grinning wider than the rest of them. Antonio hated the Callahans as much as Fidel did. He wasn't as close to me as Monty or Fidel, but he was as loyal as they came. He and his father had worked for Orlando long before I took over. Getting him to fall in line had meant getting the older ones, the ones who were still bitter that I, a female, a young one at that, was now boss, to fall in line. I turned to my family-in-law and smiled before reaching out to shake their hands. I apologize for not being properly introduced. As you know, I'm Melody Nietzsche Giovanni, but you may call me Mel. They didn't shake back. Instead, they glared, their guns still raised. Oh, right, your brother. I pretended to forget. He is a little beat up and will need a doctor, but don't worry. The shot was clean, through and through. He'll be walking in a few hours. You may check on him, and I will have Adriana show you to your rooms. I nodded to my men, directing them to drop their weapons. They frowned, but complied before following me towards the elevator. It opened to reveal not only my father, but also the eldest, Mr. Callahan, making me realize once again... The Callahans were blessed with almost a little too much pretty for my liking. My father looked me up and down before shaking his head and sighing, while Cedric just stared with no expression on his face.
"Did my son do this to you?"
he asked, looking at my slightly bruised arms and legs, cut lips, and messed up hair. It was a small disagreement, I smiled, and I shot him for it. If he weren't my future husband, it would have been worse. I do hope we can be properly introduced later, Mr. Callahan, as I find your past work fascinating. And with that, I stepped into the elevator as it reopened. It was only when the doors were closing that I saw Liam's brother and his cousin rush back into the room to collect him. I withheld my laughter.
"I'm shocked you didn't shoot him in the kneecap for that shit, ma'am,"
Antonio said as we made our way up. I smiled. How would I look with a handicapped husband, Antonio? The moment we reached the top floor, I headed straight to my room. I had it conjoined with my father's once he became worse. I almost sighed at the feeling of the soft carpet on my bare feet. This room, my room, was my sanctuary. The day I took over, I had it remodeled to a more 18th-century Roman decor, paintings included. Changing into a white and gold bathing suit, I headed towards the swimming pool. I felt dirty and downright tired, but the last thing I wanted was for the bruises on my skin to linger more than a few hours. The way to avoid that was to take a swim in ice water. It would sting at first, but a few hours later, my skin and my mind would be good as new. Clear. God knew it was fucked up now. I could still feel his hands all over me, demanding and possessive. His lips as they bit into my neck, my ear, and at last my lips. He wasn't just a good kisser. He was a sensual kisser. He wanted to make sure, with just one kiss, that I was wet for him and willing to give in. Had I been anyone else, it would have worked. There was no doubt in my mind that he knew what to do and how to do it. He was a force, and I wouldn't have minded if he hadn't come into my house and tried to make me into his little Stepford wife. In the pool I shivered, but I needed to try to escape him. I couldn't, though. He was there pushing his way to the forefront of my mind. I hated him. I loathed him. I lusted after him, and it made me angry with myself. Even in the cold water as I swam, I felt him pressing against me. I felt the electricity of his hands, his sensual tongue. I couldn't deny that I wanted him. I would have to figure out how to have him and at the same time make him understand that I was not surrendering to his will. Not even close. It was my choice. It was going to be animalistic and wild and a way for me to wind down. When I finally came back up for air, there he was, the object of all my anger, rage, and lust, sitting poolside in a fresh suit with a bandage over his leg. A leg that was resting on my pool chair. Rising out of the water, I reached for my towel, while his eyes raked over my body. "See something you like?" I asked, squeezing the cold water from my hair. He frowned.
"Sadly, yes, but it's an illusion. The moment you get close, it turns into a ruthless savage that shoots you in the thigh with your own gun."
If I turned into a ruthless savage, it was only because another ruthless savage stepped into my arena. If you came for an apology, look elsewhere. "Now, get the fuck up," I said. Glaring, he got up. The moment I sat down, he grabbed my hand, and I saw in his eyes that he felt whatever spark it was that coursed through us. He leaned in, catching my gaze in his own. He stopped just inches from my face before I heard a click near my wrist. Looking down, I saw that he had handcuffed my wrist and ankle to the chair.
"After that display earlier, I believe you need a time out."
He chuckled, kissing my forehead like I was some pet or child.
"You were swimming so long you missed dinner, so I did you a favor and brought you some."
He pointed to the dish that was only attainable with my free hand.
"I'll come and get you in the morning."
"What makes you think I can't pick a lock, you son of a bitch?" I sneered, pulling on the damn handcuffs.
"I filled the locks with cement."
"You can't pick it, love. Believe me, I've used them before,"
he said, brushing the side of my face.
"If you ever hold a weapon to me again, Melody, I will handcuff you fucking upside down and underwater."
He kissed me again, this time on the mouth, and with my free hand I slapped him across the fucking face. His head snapped to the side before he turned back to me and winked. Smug, sexy bastard.
With his free hand, he slid an obnoxiously large diamond engagement ring onto my finger. He let go, grabbed a few more towels, dropped them over me, and walked towards the exit.
Say you're sorry, and I will free you now, love, and then we can start anew.
He was trying to break me, the fucker. Fuck you and the Audi you drove up in. Frustrated, he ran his hands through his hair before shaking his head.
We will talk later, then. Ace, I wouldn't want to bring you home to my mother sick. I will make sure the room stays warm. I sent everyone else to bed for the night. Good night, wife.
Fuck you, fiancé, I said, leaning back in the chair. I was fine until he turned off the lights and shut the door. He didn't know. No one knew except my father. I had an irrational fear of the dark. Even though there was still the dimmest light from the pool illuminating the small area, I could still feel the fear creeping up my spine. There was no way in hell I was spending the night here. Sighing, I tried to calm myself before pulling the chair and myself to the edge of the water and jumping in. I was going to get out of this tonight, even if I had to break my hand to do so. Hopefully the chair would break against the walls first. Either way, he would not win.
Sex. Murderers are not monsters, they're men. And that's the most frightening thing about them. Alice Sebold.
Liam.
Have I taught you nothing?
My father asked, his voice a pitch above a whisper as I read the files on the desk before me.
No, father, actually you've taught me quite a lot.
I replied before I took another drink of Orlando's horrible brandy.
Why'd you ask? Do not be coy with me, boy. What happened between you and Melody today was unacceptable. You beat your wife. She's not my wife yet, I said, smashing my hand against the oak desk and rising from the chair. This woman, this Melody Giovanni, is insane. Borderline demented, and she took a swing at me. It escalated, and then she shot me through the fucking leg.
Cedric glared, his eyes blazing as he stepped forward.
As she should have. You had no right to interrupt her. If the tables were reversed, what would you have done?
I would have killed the person slowly.
You cannot possibly be on her side. You should be on my side.
I almost wanted to laugh at the thought. Imagine if it had been Ma, or Caroline, or Olivia. What would you have said to them if you'd seen them act as Melody did?
What are you for? I'm on the side of the family, as you should be. It was not your mother, or Caroline, or Olivia. It was Melody. Melody, who will become your wife in less than 72 hours. Make peace with her.
72 hours?
Why in the hell are we getting married in 3 days? So you don't kill each other before the week is out. The press have been notified, and by morning the world will know. Every gossip column, every news outlet, and every damn mafia member in the world will know the Giovannis and the Callahans are one. This means you two will have to pretend so fucking well, you fool even yourselves, that this isn't just some arranged marriage, or so help me God, I will set you both on fire.
The fact that my father, Cedric Callahan, had just raised his voice and cursed in the same breath was proof he was serious. He had set a man on fire before. Two, actually.
Taking a seat once again, I turned and stared at the roaring fire that lit Orlando's office. This day had not gone how I had planned, and while my bones were aching for sleep, my mind could not stop racing.
Son, do I approve of what Melody does? No, I do not. And that is because of the simple fact that I was raised differently, and by a man much more controlling than myself. The strongest survive, however, and the key to survival is to evolve with your environment. We have made so many strides. No longer are we just uneducated thugs with guns. We have evolved. The Mafia has evolved. And now, it's your turn. Melody Giovanni is your evolution. Embrace it and make peace.
It was only when the door shut after him that I allowed myself to relax. I filled my mouth with the horrible brown liquid in my hands, but even that didn't help my mind drift from the beautiful dark-eyed woman who was to become my wife. Our moment in the basement made my blood boil and other parts of me ache. She did not fight like a woman, but like a trained man, and the way she had looked, like a lioness about to rip apart her prey, made me want her even more. I almost had her on that damned wall, and she had wanted it. I had felt her nipples respond to me as they pressed against my chest through the thin material of her dress. Her eyes were begging, and her lips had parted for me as she held back moans of pleasure. Even her olive skin warmed beneath my hands. I would have taken her against that wall many times over and given her the pleasure we both hungered for. But instead, the wench shot me. She fucking shot me. I'd been so shocked and horny that my mind couldn't even compute what had happened. My thigh was burning like fire when she kissed my cheek and walked away. With that one shot, she had proven that breaking her was not possible. She would never convert to what I needed her to be. She was a ruthless savage, and if you cannot break a ruthless savage, you need to figure out how to tame them. I needed to make Melody understand that she was not above me, that she did not give the orders, that she did not move mountains or cause tornadoes to rip through the sky. I did. I had worked too long and too hard to let anyone stop me, least of all her. I would have rather died than give up my fucking claim to this family. When I found out what my father did for a living, I saw how people created paths for him as he walked into crowded buildings. I watched as governors, senators, bankers and fucking judges alike kissed his feet. I knew what I wanted to do. Some people like Neil and Declan were simply born into the family, but I knew I was born to rule the Mafia. It was beyond my fucking calling. It was in my blood. It was what pushed me daily, and the only person who ever stood in the way of that was my father. I should have taken over on my 21st birthday. I looked forward to that day, but not so I could drink legally. I'd been drinking since I was 15. But because I had wanted to hear him say it, I had wanted to hear my father tell the world that I was to take over the company. But instead, all he did was give me an island and pat me on the back. His explanation was that it is not the time. He was the damn Cana Canerta. He made the fucking time, and the rest of us followed it. Melody was 18 and legal at that point, so it wasn't as though he was waiting for her. But each year after that, I waited, killing anyone who dared to get in my way. And now, to have to deal with my wife-to-be, it was fucking bullshit, and I never saw it coming. "Today has been interesting, dear cousin," Declan stated, walking in and heading straight for the bar. "Forget crack. We Callahans were addicted to brandy and drank it like it was water." "Interesting does not even begin to cover what happened today," I said. "My fiancé shot me with me own gun." Declan grinned, the little fucker, before taking a seat on the couch. "How did she manage to disarm the greatness that is Liam Callahan? I have seen you draw, load and shoot your gun in 3 seconds flat." I frowned, knowing that he knew and simply wanted to hear me say it. Sometimes I wished he would go fuck himself. "She looks like a sweet little lamb from afar, but when you get close, you find out she skinned and ate the damn thing just to use it as a coat. She's a beast." I glared at the fire, remembering similar flames in her eyes as she shot me. It was like she had figured out how to make hell reflect in her gaze.
"I like lamb," Declan said.
"Shut up, you dick." I threw my glass at his head, but he dodged it, allowing it to shatter against the wall.
He only laughed. "Does this pent-up frustration I feel radiating off you have anything to do with the fact that you want her so badly?"
"That's how she got the gun.
You were feeling her up, and..." "And she took it from me and shot me like a dog. Yes, cousin, that's how it happened." I did not want him thinking about her firm ass in my hand or the bullet hole, which was now in my leg.
"And yet you still want her, you sick fuck."
He drank.
"I don't blame you, though. She is."
"Finish that sentence and it'll be your last one, cousin or not."
Already I was reaching for my loaded gun. Raising his hands, glass still in his left, he nodded with a grin.
"You are possessive. I wonder what your future wife thinks about that."
"I don't give a flying fuck what she thinks about it."
And what would Caroline have to say about your words over Melody?
I asked, knowing full well how pussy-whipped he was.
She would be pissed off, so much so that I'd hope she'd shoot me in the thigh. We've never had that kind of foreplay before.
I cringed at the thought of it. And I'm the sick fucker.
No more than you, he replied, stretching. Where is the Queen, anyway? She wasn't at lunch or dinner. I think I've seen everyone but her since then.
Walking over to the bar, I grabbed another glass.
Oh, sweet Mary, mother of shit, what did you do?
Declan asked, rising from the chair.
My mother would have your tongue out for speaking like that,
I replied, knocking back a glass before pouring another.
Not before taking yours for what happened today. I should have known you would retaliate.
Rolling my eyes at him, I walked over to the desk and gathered my files.
I handcuffed her to one of the chairs in the pool house and left her some dinner. I'll get her in the morning. You can't be serious, Liam, he said, causing me to turn to him. He should have known better than to doubt me. Okay, you're serious, he frowned. But you can't leave her there all night. If this was how she was with a good night's sleep, imagine how irritated she's going to be in the morning. Do you want her to be like that for your mother?
He had a point, but I was fucking pissed.
I'm not going to do it.
If I released her, it would be as though I was saying she was right. That she was boss. I wasn't going to bow down to her.
You hard-headed son of a... Mr. Callahan?
Adriana, the ugly duckling, came in already dressed in an ancient nightgown as though she'd just come out of the fucking Middle Ages.
Declan held back his laugh by filling his mouth with brandy, while I just turned to the poor, time-confused girl in front of me.
Yes, ugly... Adriana, I asked.
She glared at me as though she knew what I almost said.
The boss wanted me to ask what time you'll be departing in the morning.
Declan spit out the drink in his mouth, coughing like a dying man before laughing hysterically. I stared at her for a moment before stomping out of the room without answering. I had made sure all her men had been far away. There was no way she should have fucking been able to get out of those cuffs. They were designed by me and made with reinforced steel.
Bursting into the indoor pool house, I froze. Oh, my dear cousin, you have met your equal, and it is funny as shit to watch. Declan muttered, standing right beside me as I stared at the broken chair, now resting in its watery grave. It looked as though a monster had ripped its legs and arms off. Seeing as how I only handcuffed her to one of each, it baffled me. The food was still uneaten and the towels all rested at the bottom of the pool as well.
I'm going to bed, I told the grinning fool who was my cousin.
Sleep with one eye open, cousin, and your hand on your gun. She may just kill you tonight,
Declan said as I walked back to the room I was given for the night.
When I entered, there sat my reinforced steel cuffs in tiny pieces all over my now shot-up bed. On top of that was a fucking note from hers truly, in her precise handwriting, with a bullet taped to it.
I came to visit you, honey, so we could finish what we started in the basement, but you and your cousin were busy giggling like schoolgirls. Oh well, I hope you have a good night. About the bed, well, you can understand, right, sweetheart? Checkmate, Melody Giovanni.
I could hear her laughter ringing in my fucking ears. Checkmate. She thought this was checkmate. We hadn't even started playing yet.
Beaming, I jumped on the bullet-infested bed, kicking up feathers before pulling out my phone and dialing quickly.
Hello, Mother. I'm sorry it's late.
I was beginning to think you'd forgotten about me. I miss you all. The house is too quiet.
I can't think. Oh, how's Melody? Is she beautiful? I met Orlando once and he was a looker, I'm sure.
Yes, I've missed you as well. Yes, Melody is. She is one of a kind, Ma. One of a kind.
I was calling to see if you wouldn't mind having a welcoming party for her.
Just to show her how happy I am to have her in my life.
Really? Someone sounds smitten. The whole family?
I wanted to roll my eyes.
Yes, the whole family.
Can you do it? She is almost as maniacal as Olivia.
Are you sure she isn't tired? I thought she just came into town today.
She won't be tired at all.
Sure. I'm so excited. I'll get right on it.
When she hung up, I couldn't help but grin. My mother would do what she always did for celebrations. She would go over the top. I knew now Melody could lie down with the lowest and roll in the dirt like a motherfucking pro, but she wouldn't be able to contain herself with the family. They shit rainbows and unicorns, and while she was distracted, it would give me time to work on a new lead I had on the Bolero. I was planning something huge for those motherfuckers, and I was going to use the information I'd acquired from Orlando's files to do it. The Giovanni's contacts were now my contacts. I'd almost wanted to say checkmate fucking now, but I wondered how she'd feel when I used her work and multiplied the destruction by 20. She was playing childish games, and I was no child. This wasn't about who could outdo whom. This was me, proving a point. I would kill two birds with one stone. The Valero would never see it coming, and I would make my mark as the new Cana Canerta and boss. Sleep tight, my little Giovanni, for tomorrow you'll dance like my very own puppet on strings. I thought, lifting my hand behind my head and grinning.
Seven. We kill everybody, my dear. Some with bullets, some with words, and everybody with our deeds. We drive people into their graves and neither see it nor feel it. Maxim Gorky. Melody. Which one, ma'am? Adriana held up two teal dresses for me to wear for my first day with the bloody Irish clan, but I really didn't care what I wore as long as I got through the damn day. Dr. Anderson, what do you think? I asked the older man, bandaging my wrist. Dr. Anderson was the only doctor I trusted enough to touch me. After all, he was the one who had delivered me, and he had seen more than enough of my injuries to no longer even bother asking. He looked up, pushing his thick glasses up his nose before finishing his work on my wrist.
The long-sleeved one would be the best to hide your wound. It won't hide the one on your ankle, but that one is not as bad as your wrist.
He was right. I had used so much force to pull the plastic arm off the chair that it had cut deeply into my wrist. The idiot had made his cuffs with reinforced steel, which made it easy to break the chair, but it still hurt like a bitch and it would scar. Adriana looked at me, waiting. White heels, ma'am? I nodded, rubbing my wrist once the doctor let go. I had to fight the urge to throw this damn ugly ring down the drain every time I looked at my hand. Fidel held the door open for Dr. Anderson, but not before handing him an envelope with more than enough money to make sure he wouldn't have to work for a while.
Ma'am, after the announcement of your and Mr. Callahan's wedding this morning, I have a few magazines, charities, interviewers looking to have a moment with you,
Fidel told me with a phone in his hands. After rising from my chair, Adriana handed me the dress as I walked behind the screen. Fidel, do I look like Martha fucking Stewart?
No, ma'am. I would never think you would be foolish enough to end up in jail.
He cleared his throat and I laughed. Stepping out from behind the screen, I let Adriana drop the white heels at my feet. Then tell them to go fuck themselves.
That would not be wise, mio bambino dolce.
My father coughed as he was wheeled in by his nurse. Walking over to him, I kissed him on the cheek. Why can't I tell them to fuck themselves? I asked him as Adriana handed me my bracelets.
Because to the rest of the world you are the fiancé to one of the most powerful men in the country, the Prince of Chicago. You aren't the boss to them. They want a Kate Middleton, or a First Lady, someone to kiss babies and write big checks on behalf of your fiancé.
My father snapped at me, causing me to stop and just stare into his dying eyes. Fidel, Adriana, leave. Within seconds, they, along with my father's nurse, were gone. You're still mad that I shot him. He frowned at me.
I do not have time to hold on to anger, and yet here you are, forcing me to waste time disciplining you.
Shaking my head, I smiled. You should be proud I didn't kill him. He's a spoiled brat who thinks he was born into the 1920s when women served their husbands and bowed down to their will. I'm not now, nor shall I ever be, any man's arm candy.
Melody,
he sighed, using my full name like when he was annoyed or pissed.
You are as hard-headed as your mother.
Thank you. I will take that as a compliment. I turned away from him.
It was not one,
he hissed.
Have you forgotten why you wear the white shoes?
My whole body froze for a moment, and a chill ran up my spine. That was a low blow, Orlando. I sneered at him. taking off the damn white shoes before walking into my closet. Most of my things had already been taken out and were en route to Callahan Manor. I had left some of my things I would need in my closet here. One never knows when I would need a personal moment away from the leprechaun. My father wheeled in behind me.
I will not go to my grave knowing that this marriage is condemned, and that yet again, two people who are made for each other will not swallow their pride, lower their swords and act as a fucking equals. You, Melody Nietzsche Giovanni, will not walk the same path your mother and I did. You will support your husband, guide him when needed, and stand by his side and his side alone. You will be a damn Callahan, and you will make sure both families, past and present, rise!
He yelled, not once coughing or even so much as blinking, for that matter. Had I closed my eyes, he would have sounded like the Orlando I used to know. What happened with you and Mom is not the same, I replied, slipping on the tan shoes, while in the back of my mind a voice told me to change back.
What the outcome will be if you do not take my advice? Make peace with him, Melody. Remember how long it took me to adjust to you as boss. Prove it to him. Prove it to them all, and do it without making your husband the fool so I can rest in peace.
The tenseness in his voice dropped before he coughed again, returning to the sick man that he was now. I hated the thought of having to prove myself. I had done that for years, proving to every man we interrogated, every boss I took down, every crackhead with a big mouth, and even with my men. I thought I was done with that phase of my rule, and yet here I was again.
Don't think too long about it. We're not all still in our 20s.
Orlando smiled at me, and even though he was only a shadow of the man I used to know, that smile always made me smile. Walking behind him, I pulled his wheelchair back before exiting my closet for the last time. Fine, I will try, but if he treats me like a doormat or worse, Martha Stewart, I am shooting him in the other thigh. I was only half joking.
That is all I ask, he said as he was wheeled out of my bedroom.
Adriana and Fidel's back straightened as they followed us down the hall. Fidel, are the houses finished? I asked him, walking slower than needed, but I was in no rush to get to my destination.
Yes, ma'am, they are. Most of our equipment and technology have been moved into the basement, and the men were moved in last night. However, they want to stay away from the Irish for as long as possible.
So would I muttered. When I had found out whom I was to marry years ago, I had slowly but surely bought, bribed, and taken government-protected lands, just far enough from the Callahan Manor to give my men a place for their families, that was nearer to where I would be staying. The houses were not anything close to Callahan Manor, or my home here, but they were nice, common family homes that would typically be found in the suburbs of Chicago. We had started building 3 years ago, a task I left to Antonio and Fidel to complete.
Are you ready?
Orlando asked me. My father's right-hand man since he was a teen. Fiorello stood at the door waiting for us to answer before opening. He was the only one, with the exception of a cook and a nurse, who my father wanted to stay with him here. Fiorello had been tortured by the Valero once upon a time for dirt on my father, which left him with a scar that now graced his face. He fought his way out and came back, asking only for a doctor and a large glass of brandy. I knew my father was going to be fine. I just wasn't sure if I was. Nodding, I signaled for Fiorello to open the door. Beside me, Orlando's nurse took her place at his wheelchair. The moment the door opened, I was met with four pairs of eyes staring at me, each more beautiful than the last, until my gaze fell on Liam, whose green eyes were glued to my legs. His gaze lingered a little on the scar at my ankle before wandering up the rest of my body, meeting mine. His lips were turned in a frown, but his eyes were filled with lust.
Ma'am.
Monty walked over to me, handing me an iPad. He must have put all the information on Ryan Ross here. I took it from him before walking toward my new familia, or Teglach, as it was called in Irish. Good morning. Am I late? I asked as kindly and brightly as possible.
No, ma'am. Just thinking you're beautiful this morning,
Declan replied as he tried to take my hand and kiss it. I pulled back. His cousin did not seem to get it, because Neil opened his arms as if he were about to give me a hug.
Save your fancy words. She looks fucking hot. Simple.
Let me make this clear to the both of you. Touch me and I will strap you down and then take every last bone out of your bodies. Understood? I asked them, with a smile. Neil's arms dropped and Declan kept his hands in his pocket. Beautiful, I added.
Stupid Irish brute,
Fidel hissed lowly in Italian.
Senza rispetto,
Monty said softly. He was all about respect.
Enough, you fools! We're going to be late. Your mother says it's mayhem outside the manor. Let's go,
Cedric told them before winking at me. The old pervert. They walked toward their cars, leaving me alone with Liam and his brand new black Audi. He said nothing, opening the door for me and then closing it when I took a seat. He didn't say anything when he took his seat beside me either, and I didn't need him to. In fact, I had work to do. According to the files on my tablet, Amory Valero had gotten out of prison. A secret the Valero were trying to hide from the world until they released the savage for their own personal use. Apparently, from what Ryan spilled to Monty and Fidel, they wanted Amory in Brazil to attempt to steal my fucking cocaine. They must have been on fucking cocaine to think it was going to work. But this is what the Valero did, and it was what they were good at, the fucking thieves. For years they had stolen whatever they could from my family. The leader, Amory's father, Vance, was all but run out of Italy by my father. Instead of withering into nothing, however, he resorted to the black market. If it was worth a penny, Vance stole it, flipped it, and bought himself more men. If I could, I would hang him by the balls. What is that? Liam's green eyes narrowed as he tried to read the encrypted files, all while the driver in front pretended not to even be in the car. None of your business, you motherfucking Irish asshole. Work, I replied instead, trying my best not to speak my mind. I knew I needed to listen to Orlando, but the look of anger and disgust in Liam's eyes made me want to shoot him in the dick. He tried to pull himself back.
You should relax today. It's a day for family.
Thanks, but I'm fine. I smiled. I slept like a fucking baby. Because I got out of the chair that you fucking chained me to like a dog, you bitch-ass motherfucking cock. He glared at that.
So did I, in fact. The bed was not what I'm used to, but I'm not one to complain.
Unless you don't get what you want, then you just cry like a newborn baby who's had his ass slapped. I smiled again before looking back at the information in front of me.
You should know that my mother is not fond of cursing, especially in women. To her, women who have to curse are classless, brainless, and foul.
He stretched every word out as I crossed my legs. My beautiful, sexy legs. He could not look away. I grinned. You don't fucking say. Well, damn, ain't that a mother shit-fucking bitch? Don't worry, Callahan, I'm not gonna cock it up. In fact, I'm going to try my abso-fucking-lute best not to curse in front of Mama Callahan. His eyes blazed.
Stop the car,
he told the driver, who stomped on the brakes. Liam grabbed the iPad from my hand and a bottle of brandy. Then he stepped out of the car and poured the brandy all over the poor device before dropping his lighter flame blazing on top of it. It went up so quickly that I could hear the glass cracking. Stepping back into the car, he ran his hands through his hair before adjusting his jacket and tie.
Go on,
he told the driver. Remember Orlando? A tad bit immature, don't you think? I asked, not bothering to look over for fear that I might smack the shit out of his face.
You don't fucking say,
he repeated my words.
But it was either the tablet or you, and since there are dozens of photographers and reporters all waiting to see a happy couple, I figure killing you wouldn't go over so well.
You better hope it burns thoroughly, I said, breathing through my nose. He sighed.
Knowing you, love, I wouldn't doubt if it had a self-destruct switch.
Do I look like James fucking Bond? I smiled. It was a compliment, and he didn't even know it. He glared, realizing his slip, only a moment later.
No, more like a black widow.
Even better, I laughed, looking out my window. It did have a self-destruct switch, but he didn't need to know that. Leaning back, I allowed myself to drift, trying to forget about the beautiful asshole beside me and the world he was taking me to. Gone was the underground secret life where no one knew who Melody Giovanni was. Where I could just be Mel, the fucking boss. Gone were my days of absolute freedom. Marriage was a horrible, horrible idea, and I should have said no to my father, but the bastard had locked me into it. I had to think on the bright side. No more wasted money or blood as we try to get our drugs from South America into Miami and then the rest of America. No more wars in the middle of downtown Boston or San Francisco. The amount of money we would make now was so fucking ridiculous that it would make Bill fucking Gates shit bricks.
When Liam's hand took mine, I jumped, pulling a knife from my thigh before either of us could even blink. He stared at me wide-eyed, then smirked at the large blade in my grip before looking at my thigh.